Case this morning is number 043968, the United States against Oscar Muriel. Mr. Cleary.
May it please the court, Ms. Konauer. I am Joseph Cleary, the counsel appointed to represent Mr. Muriel on this direct appeal from his criminal conviction out of the Southern District of Indiana. Mr. Muriel's arrest and subsequent conviction for possession of cocaine arose out of a warrantless search of his vehicle following a traffic stop. Mr. Muriel filed a motion to suppress in regard to this, and the district court held a hearing at which the arresting officer testified. The officer's car had been equipped with an in-car camera, which recorded most of the stop and the relevant events. And that recording was admitted at the motion to suppress hearing and the subsequent trial.
Is that both an audio and a video?
It is, Judge. It's in the form of a CD-ROM, and it shows a view out the front of the officer's car. And there was a separate in-car microphone that captured the conversations which took place inside the car. The traffic stop occurred in the middle of the afternoon on an interstate highway just outside of Indianapolis. The officer testified that he decided to pull Mr. Muriel over for following too closely. In the course of effectuating that stop, he testified that Mr. Muriel committed another traffic violation, which was that he slowed down to an unreasonably slow speed on the interstate.
Now, Mr. Cleary, if on no other ground, why didn't Sergeant McDonald have reasonable cause to stop Mr. Muriel when he slowed down to 30 miles per hour on the interstate?
Well, Your Honor, I guess I would, I think that has to be viewed sort of the prism of the whole thing, which was, you know, he initially approaches for the following too closely violation, which I think, you know, the district court considered a pretty close call, and if you've seen the video of it, it is a close call. As it appears on the camera, there's a truck in front of Mr. Muriel's car, which, as the officer comes up from the left and the rear, the truck slows down, then Mr. Muriel slows down, and the officer testified that he considered this to be a violation of Indiana's reckless driving ordinance.
Well, I mean, you know, whether or not he was tailgating is really another matter, but as Judge McKinney pointed out, even if we might disagree that Muriel was following the car in front of him too closely, it seems that there's nothing in the record that would suggest that McDonald didn't genuinely believe that he was tailgating. And isn't that what we have to look at here?
Well, Your Honor, I would you know, freely acknowledge that this is a heavy burden for Mr. Muriel to carry on appeal. The district court's decision is not completely immune from review, and we do have the contemporaneous recording of that stop. In regard, again, to the following too closely, you know, as they're sitting in the car and the officer's questioning Mr. Muriel, you see a stream of cars go past the left-hand side of the car, all of which seem to be in violation of the following too closely statute by a degree in greater than Mr. Muriel.
Well, we all know there isn't always justice on those highways, right?
Well, it's a discretionary thing, and we again, you know, we acknowledge the burden here, but in regard to the slowing down, honestly, it appears to be less a matter of reckless driving than someone who is the truck in front slows down, he slows down a great deal, and there's some confusion about what to do because, as I understand it, this isn't a matter where the officer had his lights on yet, so it wasn't clear if he was to pull over or not. So I don't think it amounted to reckless driving, but again, we acknowledge that on review, it's a difficult burden. Nevertheless, we would contend that that the stop was inappropriate for those reasons, and we acknowledge that a finding of fact on review for clear error has to be that even if there's evidence to support it, this court must find that have a definite and firm conviction that a mistake has been made. The following too closely statute is what's reasonable and prudent under the circumstances. This was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was February, but it was, you know, completely clear and dry. There was no snow. There was no rain. It's not, you know, so it's as good a driving conditions as one could have. And I think, and in regard to the 2 seconds, that's not codified. That's part of the driver's manual, if you will, the Indiana driver's manual. And Officer McDonald testified that he counted 2 seconds after Muriel's car had passed under a bridge, and Judge McKinney acknowledged that was difficult to discern. It sort of depended on how you counted. And it's our contention that that the stop was inappropriate for the reasons set forth in the brief. Even if the stop was appropriate, Muriel would separately argue that the scope and duration of the stop exceeded permissible bounds.
The 13 minutes?
I think it's a little bit longer than 13 minutes, but it's not. It's, I think it's from 2:28 to 2:43 or two. So it's maybe 15 to 16 or 17 minutes, depending on at what point the search indicated. But it's as much the.
Well, I guess the 13 minutes is between the stop and the consent.
You know, it's as much the scope of the questioning as well, because Mr. Muriel, it appears from the record that Mr. Muriel's information had checked out, which was that in terms of the ownership of the car and his licensing, that the car belonged to his father. It did not appear that there were any, whatever the officer was able to run on his in-car computer, that didn't, you know, any outstanding warrants or that type of thing. And, you know, that an investigatory detention must be temporary and last no longer than necessary to effectuate the stop, and there must be some reasonable suspicion that the occupants were involved in illegal activity in order to prolong that stop.
Well, you know, our opinion in Childs.
Yes, Your Honor.
You know, he may have asked questions that were unreasonable, but, you know,
I'm aware the opinion in Childs seems to sort of fold the scope and duration together, although it seems that there still must be some, I mean, the scope must have some independent meaning, although it clearly allows questions that are not related to the traffic stop. In this regard, you know, the officer testified that his questions were, unrelated to the traffic stop. He testified that his suspicions were first aroused when he passed a car with 2 Latino males and an Illinois license plate, which even Judge McKinney acknowledged that he hoped that an Illinois license plate on an Indiana interstate did not mean much of anything.
Are you arguing that there is an element of racial profiling in this case?
Well, all I have to go on, Judge, is what the officer testified, that his suspicions were first aroused by 2 Latino males in a car with an Illinois license plate.
Driving on an interstate through Indiana.
Right.
This was I-70.
This was I-70 coming from Ohio. They were just east of Indianapolis. There's nothing more than that in the record, so I don't think I can credibly make a racial profiling argument, although, you know, the officer's testimony indicated that was what first aroused his suspicion. He then went on to talk about these disclaimers that the car had, which were a teddy bear and a flag and some religious symbols, which most of which were not really apparent until you got right up next to the car. So it's hard to see how these could be efforts to keep from getting pulled over when you'd almost have to be pulled over before anyone would see them anyway, not to mention the... you know, I see these things all the time now with, you know, support the troops and different yellow stick ribbons and things.
You intimate both now and in your brief that the officer was more or less of a professional testifier. But we do have the problem, do we not, that Judge McKinney believed him.
He did believe him, Your Honor. And I don't mean to intimate that he was a professional testifier, other than that but he did testify to his... the fact that he had stopped a number of people and questioned them for 20 or 25 minutes and didn't find drugs, which I think is, you know, a burden on, I mean, if we're stopping everybody and questioning them for 25 minutes, that's, I think, what we're more concerned about as opposed to stopping the people who actually have drugs and questioning them for 25 minutes. And my time is about up, so I would just like to finish by noting that, I mean, Mr. Muriel did consent. we would contend that that consent was not valid because the stop was still not a consensual one. He was sitting in the squad car. Our argument regarding the scope and duration of the stop, and there's also what must be considered the language barrier here. Mr. Muriel speaks no English. Officer McDonald testified he spoke some Spanish but was not fluent in the language. He was not able to translate, to interpret the voices on the car camera. So I think that would be considered as part of the consent argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cleary. We'll hear now from Ms. Connor.
Good morning. Thank you, morning. Your Honors. I am Melanie Konauer with the United States Attorney's Office. Mr. Cleary, the situation before the court is not a case of racial profiling, and Officer McDonald did not testify that his suspicions were first aroused by the race of the individuals in the car or the insignia all over the car. Trooper McDonald, Officer McDonald, was pulling up from behind the vehicle when he noticed what he believed was following too closely. He couldn't possibly have seen who was driving the car or what was on the car. The closer he got, the more Mr. Muriel slowed down to the point that it was a dangerous situation. In fact, the first words out of the officer's mouth when he approached the car are, "You almost got me killed back there." It was clearly a correct stop with probable cause, regardless of the judgment call on driving too close, which is what an officer has to do every day.
How about this remark, though, about driving with Illinois plates from Ohio to Illinois through Indiana? I mean, talk about a throwaway. I mean, we are the crossroads of America. I mean, you got to go through Indiana on an interstate to get from Ohio to Illinois.
Absolutely. And those were primarily things that the officer noticed as he was approaching the car, because he has, in his experience, noticed that some people try so hard to look innocent that it is just a factor that they take into consideration when they approach a car, because you never know what
you're going
to find.
I thought you said that they couldn't see him.
No. This
because
was,
they were in front of him.
That is correct. I believe that the question was directed to the insignia and flag and teddy bear and police decals and fireman decals that were all over the car.
Well, I take it, however, that you would agree that we should give no weight whatsoever to the features of the vehicle that, you know, Sergeant McDonald believed to be suspicious. In other words, Illinois plates, police decals, teddy bears, American flags, religious symbols.
That really played no role in the legitimacy of the stop, of the questions in regard to travel, where they were going, how long they'd been there, getting completely inconsistent answers between Mr. Muriel, the driver, and his passenger.
Why did he then articulate them as part of the totality of the circumstances, if they are, in fact, irrelevant?
I believe that that was done, both at the motion to suppress and at trial.
I'm sorry, what was done?
The inconsistent responses.
That's correct.
Added to the officer's.
But why did he mention things like driving on Interstate 70 through Indiana? I mean, why did he mention that as another factor he took into consideration? If it is irrelevant.
I believe the officer was simply attempting to allocute all the things that he saw at the time of the stop.
The kitchen sink of reasons.
Some officers believe that it is better to err on the side of total inclusion in their testimony, and others believe it's better to err on the side of lesser inclusion.
How are we to believe these inconsistent statements when the officer can't speak Spanish?
The officer does speak some Spanish.
Some Spanish, right.
And there was both audio and video DVD from the in-car camera and the mic that the officer was wearing. The passenger speaks English, and it was quite clear listening to the tape or the DVD that they were giving different answers as to how long they had been gone and the purpose of their trip, significantly different.
Is the DVD included in the record?
Yes, Your Honor.
May I ask you a question with respect to the transcript? I notice at one point, it's on page 11 of the appendix of the appellant, the court, in ruling on this thing, speaks to the Childs case and says, it is important to note whose opinion is the majority and whose opinion is the concurring opinion. What did the judge mean?
Oh, I will not attempt to divine what a justice meant when he made a statement, but I believe he was just opining in regard to the case itself. The facts in this case, I think...
Wasn't suggested to him by either counsel that he ought to look at the case that way?
By who wrote the majority or who wrote the dissent?
Did
Did you or your brother?
Indy? Okay.
No.
So that's something we need to take up with the judge.
If you believe it needs to be taken up, yes. I don't know whether he was referring to the fact that it was an on-bank opinion, that there was a majority of the court. I don't believe for a moment that Judge McKinney meant any disrespect or to single anyone out. And I believe under the facts of this case, it would even pass the child's dissenting opinion because there was probable cause to stop and arrest for reckless driving. The questions about where are you going, how long have you been there, are within the normal questions of an officer making a traffic stop.
The reason I ask is that we have at least one United States Attorney's Office in this district that does that regularly.
Oh, that would not be the Southern District of Indiana.
Okay.
Not by any stretch. Then the inconsistent answers gave probable cause to ask a few more questions, and then consent was clearly voluntary and given within 13 minutes of the stop. So I don't believe in this case, under the most strict rulings and readings of the cases and the dissents, if you will, that this was anything other than a justifiable search of the car. If there are no other questions, I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Connor. We appreciate your oral argument today. Does Mr. Cleary have any time? Your time has expired. Mr. Cleary, if you have something, though, that you'd like to add, I'll be glad to give you a minute.
I think I might be able to, in regard to your question about what Judge McKinney said.
Yes, thank you.
I didn't try this case, but I sat as local counsel with Mr. Cohen. And if my memory is correct, I think the full context of that was Mr. Cohen, I believe, was citing from the concurring opinion in his argument. And I think Judge McKinney was trying to say, well, you need to look really at at what the opinion of the court was as opposed to citing the concurring opinion. I don't think it was a discussion about the respective authors. That's my memory of the full context of that. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cleary. Mr. Cleary, you served by appointment of the court, and you have the deep thanks of the court for your fine efforts on behalf of your client and the finest traditions of the profession. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel today, and the case will be taken under advisement.